time, we don't hold anybody accountable. We don't hold these mayors accountable. We don't hold these police chiefs accountable. We don't hold anybody accountable. Okay? Right. I think we should have a separate community policing and community groups who address these issues. Okay? I have actually a great movie idea about something a little bit, you know, more along the lines of what you're talking about when it comes to... But we love vigilante movies. Right? We love, you know, Liam Neeson before he said he was trying to kill black people wherever he could find them. After that incident, you know, we love that. You know, when people take the law into their own hands, okay? But when it comes to black people, you know, we have to be calm, et cetera, et cetera. But with regards to the things that need to happen, this just talking and getting upset and marching, I understand why people do that, but something more has to happen. And I saw what you're talking about in Dallas. And did you see the Dallas police chief? What she said in response to that? Ridiculous. And this is a black woman. Okay?
Yeah.
And that man punched that black woman multiple times. Multiple times. He assaulted her first. Okay? And the people recording, also the in New York, the man on the bus, the brother kicking that elderly lady. And people just recording and doing anything. There has to be a change in the mentality of our people when it comes to protecting our people. I 100% agree with that.
But they sit around and they tell you, Dante Morris, they say it, every radio station talking about, he should die, he should die. But when we say, we can't get on the radio and say who should die, who should truly die, it's some of those out there who should be dead.
Well, that's true.
Out there who did some bad things that should be dead. It's some police who stood by and watched other police do bad things that also should be dead. There's some security guards. There's some black people who sat around videoing black people getting beat and kicked, mothers and fathers, homeless, should be dead. If Hitler should be dead, if the other guy who they say Obama and them team supposed to have killed, if he's supposed to be dead, if all these other quote-unquote bad people supposed to be dead, why these white people who do bad ain't dead? Why these black people who are afraid to stand up ain't dead?
Well, probably because people don't want to, you know, in some cases, obviously, you know, there's, of course, self-defense, you know, and there are places, there are times where people can kill people. Okay, I mean, that's, you know, we have a large set of rules that address that. So, you know, there are ways that people, that things should be done. And I feel what you're saying. I do. I feel what you're saying. But there's a way to get it done. And there are a myriad of things that we can do. But there needs to be punishment. Mm-hmm. And you know, and people, and I've said this before. You know, we need to look at the ways in which we can, because you can do, there's such thing as third-party self-defense. So if I see somebody harming you,
right,
then I can harm them, mm-hmm, to stop them from harming you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when it comes to police, the courts have been, you know, the law is not as clear, you know, when it comes to that. Because you see people and I think, well, why didn't somebody just, you know, push that person off or, you know,
right,
shoot that person or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying, Shane. I appreciate your comment, all right?
Definitely.
Love you. You be good, sister.
All right, take care. Got it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that. Yeah, I feel him. I feel him, though. I see what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jay, we talk later. We talk offline. We can get down and dirty. Okay? I should have asked Shane. Hold on. All right. Okay, we got Jack in Sarasota. We got Jack in Sarasota. Again, you are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the 4th Estate. And we are talking today about affirmative action for me and not for thee. We are going to get to that here soon. I'm going to go over the reparations bit, and then I'm going to get into it because I'm not going to push this over to another show. All right, Jack in Sarasota, you are on the Sunday Forum, Kaya Wright in the 4th Estate.
Hi. In response to your last caller, I'm not so sure that Jews should worry about Jews. And we need to be looking at things in terms of religion or color. Myself, I have my ancestry done. And my ancestry DNA, I'm actually from every continent except for Antarctica. And I'm sure somewhere, somehow, someone mounted a penguin. So who am I supposed to be fighting for? No, I'm saying I have African blood in me. I have Italian blood in me. I have Irish blood in me. I have Jewish blood in me.
Yeah, I get
you. So if we're all going to silo off, who is it I'm fighting for? I appear Caucasian, so is that how I should identify? And as far as this third-party self-defense stuff, Everyone wants a riot till they've been in one. You ever been in a riot? Have you ever been in a riot?
Go ahead, what's your point?
Well, I'm asking you, have you ever been in a riot? Have you ever been in a situation where there are people violently attacking one another with absolutely no order involved?
I've been in a war, and so but get to your point. I'm going to let you get your point out, then I'm going to respond. Okay?
My point is vigilante justice or street justice doesn't get you anywhere. And if you're going to advocate for something, every time someone calls in, ask them a question. Hey, are you registered to vote? Do you know who installed that prosecutor that decided whether or not to prosecute a police officer or a security guard or the man that shot Trayvon Martin? Who appointed that prosecutor? Who appointed that judge? Hold them accountable. Get their asses out of office. And you do that by talking, not by stabbing, not by shooting, not by fighting. You do that by talking. You do that by organizing. You do that by voting. So it might make you have to go to jury duty once every 6 years. Get off your butt. Register to vote. Vote them out. Educate yourself about how the system works and fight from within it. The powerful interests, they still only have one vote. The corporations want to be people. Great. But if corporations, they're only going to get one vote if they do get the vote. Everyone else also gets the vote. If more people got off their butt, right now Andrew Gillum would be the governor.
All right. Okay. Now go ahead and wrap up. It's been a couple minutes.
I'm sorry?
I said go ahead and wrap up your comment.
All right, well, vigilante justice, street justice, seriously? You were in a war? Do you want to return to the war? I notice you're in a nice, cozy radio booth today. You're not back on the front line. I guess you didn't find it all that comfortable.
It's called retirement, but let's address these typical Caucasian points that you've raised here. Number one, that's why I let you talk. That's why I let you talk, so you can get it all out. Okay, now I'm talking now. Okay, number one, this notion that, you know, we're all human kind of approach does not work for a people who has been terrorized by whites for centuries in this country. Okay, so you can sit there and talk about what we should do, which, by the way, is not even your place. Okay, you do not suffer what we suffer. So unless you are going to work on destroying systemic racism, white supremacy, then you don't worry about how it is. Stop. Wait until I finish. Okay, then we will worry about how it is that we deal with the centuries long terrorism that we face here in this country. Now, most of us are also, unfortunately, you know, have blood of different folks running through our veins. That has nothing to do with the fact that as a people, well documented for centuries, obviously, that we have been mistreated. And when I talk about third party defense, that is an actual legal concept. Okay? It is true that if someone's being harmed, you can stop that harm, period. Okay? So figure out what it is that I'm talking about before you comment on it and don't know what you're talking about, okay? And with regards to vigilantism, the point is, what is being done now is not stopping the slaughter of black people throughout this country. And of course, the advice is for us to just take it.
Yes.
Okay? Never mind the violence that has been visited upon us, and that when whites, even preemptively, okay, want to be violent, they'll go and do it. When it was time for their revolution or whatever, it's violence is all fine, okay? But when it's black people, and I'm talking self-defense, okay? I'm talking about doing things within a system. And you talk about organizing, etc. I already talked about all that. I already talked about the ways in which, or that there are other ways within the system that we can do things to make it work, okay? So instead of focusing on what it is that we should be doing. The focus should be on, you should be telling white people what they should be doing to destroy racism, white supremacy, instead of telling black people about how we need to just go vote. Voting does not change what it is that's happening. It's something that helps. It's good to have representative, but it's not just about voting. And I'm going to have a great clip on that.
And Kaya, just to interject for a moment, you know, Jack mentioned specifically as far as getting off your keister and going out and vote. Well, my brothers and sisters that have been released from prison are trying to go out and vote. However, there is, again, thwarting going on that is preventing them from being able to do that. So I would suggest in your case, as far as to advocate for black people to be able to vote and not have these barriers put in place when we try to do so.
Circulated the petition in Sarasota County.
Well, good. That's great to hear. Thank you very much for your comment. All right, all right. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright in the Fourth Estate on the Sunday Forum, where our topic today is affirmative action for me and not for thee, part 1A, because we are going to get to this. So, yeah, let's that's actually a pretty good segue really quickly into reparations, right? Into reparations. You know, this it's always black people who are supposed to sacrifice. It's always black people who are supposed to just allow ourselves to be mistreated, and then, you know, people want to hold hands and tell us that we just need to be calm, etc. Okay? It brings me back to Stephanie Flowers and that impassioned speech that she made. Okay? We are not falling for the gaslighting. We are not falling for the okey-doke. Okay? I want to hear solutions about how racism, white supremacy is going to be destroyed. Not white people telling us about how we should react to getting slaughtered for centuries. Give me a break. So, speaking of people who think they can tell black people what it is that we should be doing, we know this has been a trend, okay, across groups, not just white people and people of color. We got a couple of those who come in. Well, I'm going to introduce this, and I'm going to get to you, Howard, in St. Pete, who wanted to comment. Give us a call at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663. So, Kate Morgan, last week, she ended up deleting this tweet, but she was very upset about this. You know, reparations has become an issue, really, for this upcoming election. All the Democratic candidates have been talking about it, and there's been, you know, movement on foot. It's not the first movement, okay, with regards to reparations, even during elections. It's often brought up, but it's getting a lot of traction this go around. And as we know, I've talked about H.R. 40, which was introduced by John Conyers, been introduced every year by John Conyers, but I think it just doesn't get out of committee, where he wants to at least study the feasibility of reparations. I want to go kind of beyond that. But this issue has become prominent, right, in 2020. So Kate Morgan, last week, she makes some ridiculous comments saying, well, what about, you know, indigenous people's reparations and Hispanic people's reparations? AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, also made a similar comment a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, she did an interview and was asked the questions about reparations again. And her response was nonsense about, well, you know, do we really know who's black? And again, bringing up Hispanics. And then this week, Thursday, we had Lee Fang. Again, he's an investigative journalist for The Intercept. I say again because I said that earlier in the show. This is what he had to say about reparations. This is his couple of tweets within a couple of minutes of each other on this past Thursday. Why not reparations for the millions of humans killed by wars waged overtly and covertly by the U.S. government in Vietnam, Laos, Iraq, Afghanistan, Cambodia, Nicaragua, Panama, and so on? He also says deciding the beneficiaries for reparations will face the same issues of segregation. What do you do with racially mixed people? Okay, all of these comments are patently ridiculous. First of all, Leanne and all of them, really, why not reparations for these men? What are you talking about reparations for foreigners when we're talking about reparations for black people, citizens of this country, not only for slavery, not only for Jim Crow, but the racism that we have faced all of this time? Okay? Particularly, obviously, starting with slavery, you know, and Jim Crow, where you have de jure legal discrimination. Overt, not even covert like I'm going to get into later. Overt discrimination, okay? And these people want to talk about, what about reparation? Why are you making that argument now? Mm-hmm. Okay, if people want to argue that there should be some compensation for these illegal wars that we've waged, okay, fine, make the argument. But why are you making it on the back of black people? Right? Why are you making it on the backs of black people? Where were your tweets about reparations for these other foreign people you're talking about here, where other people are getting reparations? Japanese getting reparations. Natives getting reparations. Us facilitating reparations for Jewish people. Did you write articles, Mr. Lee Chang, an Asian guy?
Mm-hmm. Is it Lee Fang? Yeah.
Fang, I'm sorry. Were you writing articles about what happened to Howard? We'll get him. Hey, Howard, give us a call back.
Yeah,
Howard, give us a call back.
Having some issues with his phone, but keep calling back.
Yeah, give us a call back, Howard. We'll get to you. Where were your tweets about that then? You know, all of a sudden, when there's a serious conversation mm-hmm. about compensating black people for what it is that we've been through, it should be comprehensive. It's not just going to be a check.
Right, it shouldn't be.
No, absolutely. Yeah, even though we do want our check.
Yeah, Martin Luther King.
Yeah, we want our check. Right. I should have put that in here. We want our check, okay? But we want more than that. So, and we deserve more than that. We are owed more than that, okay? And so, Lee Fang wants to know about Vietnam, Iraq, Nicaragua, and so on.
Everybody. So remember what
we're talking about this, right? We're going to all lives matter.
Yeah.
Reparations for black people. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we were talking about this, right? So it seems like when it comes to black people, and like you said, serious conversation, when that comes about, it seems like everyone else wants to come out the woodwork. It's what's in it for me, the Whiffen effect. You know, mm-hmm. let me see how I can get down on this. If they are paying attention, if they're showing any type of reparations towards black people, that means that I most certainly can have my take in on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's right. Let us get what is owed to us, and then you argue your point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and also, I'm reading this rhetoric, and I'm hearing it also, is that, you know, when black people are treated fairly, everybody else will be,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, wait till we are treated fairly first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still somehow are trying to put that boot on our neck, mm-hmm. you know, so you want to be able to be held up at the expense of a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Let us get our just due first.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. And then he said, deciding the beneficiaries for reparational faces. He said, what about racially mixed people? What do you mean? What about racially mixed people? You know, in other words, he's trying to say, well, we're not going to really be able to see, you know, who's black. Again, and that's similar to what AOC was saying. Let us worry about that. You know, why are non-black people being brought up when addressing issues for us? And when have you been concerned about our one-drop issues as black people? You know, there's all this interest in, you know, well, who's going to be, why are you worried about it? Let us figure that out. We'll figure that out. You know, it's very simple. William Darity is, and I'm going to try to get him on. He has done extensive research on this, and I want to say there was a couple of metrics you can use that we've already been through this. It's hundreds of years of asking for reparations. There's a very good book. I'm going to get the name of it, but I've read it. But anyway, back in the 19th century, I want to say early 20th century, there was a woman who was trying to get reparations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was trying, but of course that wasn't going to happen. You know, her efforts were thwarted deliberately back when, you know, the slaves were still alive, you know, but she was precluded and they were precluded, and now it's like, oh well, you know. I mean, just think about that. You prevent the people from being able to pursue what they owe, and now you want to use that as an excuse. Oh well, now it's too late to figure out. No, it's not. And here's the thing. This whole thing about what about mixed race people and AOC or who's black? When it was time to enslave us, you knew who was black. Okay? When it was time to segregate and Jim Crow us, you knew who was black. When it was time to mass rape us, you knew who was black. When it was time to lynch us, you knew who was black. When it was time to redline, okay, you know who's black. When it's time to discriminate in employment, housing, criminal justice, you know who's black. When it's time to wrongfully convict people, you know who's black. When it's time to call the police on random black people doing innocuous things, living their lives, existing, you know who's black, okay? And so on and so on. I could go through 100 things. But now when it's time for reparations, it's rocket science. You know, it's rocket science. It's, oh my God.
I think also, you know, hearing this from these different voices of different races and ethnicities, like AOC and Li Fang, it just reminds me, you know, and something that we all need to keep in mind, that racism is not just black and white, meaning black and white people. Mm-hmm. You know, there's prejudices, you know, and biases and racism all throughout. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when we look for support from different ones, we have to remember the perspectives that they also have on black people.
Mm-hmm. I say all the time, anti-blackness is a global phenomenon. You know, so they may not have the control of power for racism, but anti-blackness and bigotry are rampant. Okay. And our interests often do not align. Sometimes they do. But oftentimes they don't. Look what's going on in Harvard right now, okay, with that lawsuit. You know, these people, they want us to mule. Like, remember when the Oscar So White incident happened,
mm-hmm.
right? And I talked about that before, how there was an Asian actor and a Hispanic actor or actress, well, one combination of two, but they were basically getting on Chris Rock for not having mentioned the fact that there weren't Asians or Hispanics that were also not nominated during that year. Mm-hmm. Like, do your own campaigns. Write your own articles, get your own hashtag, do your own, that's what we did.
Right.
So why you want us, like, do your own thing. We're not even the largest minority here.
Do your
country.
Own work.
Yeah.
You know, I have a slogan that I go by, it's on my business card, is you have to do the work. You know, and like you said, I'm not your mule.
Yeah. Get off my back. Get up off me. You know, get up off me. They want us to mule. They want us to mule. They want, and this is all groups. This is whites, people, whatever. And it breaks down a little bit differently for each of them. But here's what they want us to do. They want us to mule, okay? They want us to be available to be mined for votes. They want us to be a permanent underclass. They want us to serve as a group against which they can contrast themselves. And they want to use our pain and suffering that they caused. Okay? They want to exploit that to advance their own causes. Every major rights group has done this. Exploited our pain and suffering, okay, to advance their causes. This is absolutely preposterous. Absolutely preposterous and makes zero sense whatsoever. Okay? That's not why we exist. That's not why we are here as a group. And we need to stop allowing other people to use us. Sometimes, rarely I would say actually, there's a time for us to come together for a particular purpose or to be grouped together. But most of the time, not. And we need to focus on our own issues. Period, point blank. Who else is gonna do it? You know, everybody wants us to focus on their thing, mm-hmm. right? You remember I talked about before with Prop 8. Back in California, back in 2008, and the white LGBT community was all upset at black people because they voted whatever way it went. Oh, I don't forget if it was yes that banned same-sex marriage or no, whichever one it was. You know, there was a significant percentage of us who voted to ban marriage. And when the question was asked, well, how come you're not mad at the white people who also voted, mm-hmm. you know, to ban same-sex marriage? You know, why are you not mad at them? Why are you not mad? There were Hispanics who also had voted. But it was black people, and they were N-word and this and that. okay? Because they were upset. And when the question was asked, like, well, you know, we would think you would know better. You know, we would think that you... No! It's not our... It is not our purpose to mule for other groups. Especially when those groups do not advocate on our behalf to nearly the same degree. All right? But it's expected. It's expected that we're supposed to mule for everybody. I don't think so. So, you know, crazy tweets from Lee Fang this past Thursday and comments from folks like AOC and Kate Morgan, you know, talking about other people. Make your own movement. Okay? And COBRA, the National Coalition for Reparations for Blacks in America, has done great work. Oh, I think it was mainly the 2000s, late 90s, that they were doing a lot of great work. Okay? Bringing suits against corporations, trying to get us reparations. We've been on this thing for a minute. Okay? So for people to come in here and tell us that we need to put foreigners, you know, before ourselves, you know, it's ridiculous. These kinds of demands are only made of black people, and we're not having it. Okay? We are not having it. We are not having it. This is WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate, and you are listening to the Sunday Forum. And we are going to hit another break. I was going to go over the Dems not going to AIPAC. I'm just going to say briefly, okay? We have Julian Castro, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kirsten Gillibrand, Beto O'Rourke, Kamala Harris, Howard Schultz, who are not going to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee Conference, which I believe begins today. Nancy Pelosi is going to be there. So I'm not going to be able to get into that in detail, but MoveOn.org was the one who called for the candidates not to go, and they decided not to go. So we'll get into the histrionics over all of that and what all that entails at another time, because we got to go. It's already 1227, and we got to hit this break right quick, and then we are going to come back with affirmative action for me and not for thee. So this is a great little new cut from Rashawn Patterson. Rashawn Patterson is a great neo-soul artist that a lot of people do not know about, okay? And he is very much slept on. He's awesome. So this is Sent from Heaven. Nice little, you know, I give you a little cruising music, you know, every time here on the Sunday Forum. And when it comes to playing some neo-soul here when we're going into the break, this is a new cut from Rashawn Patterson, Sent from Heaven.
Sounds cliche. These are Hi, this is Farrah Stokes with the WMNF community announcement. The League of Women Voters of Hillsborough County will hold its 14th annual Lifetime Achievement Award Luncheon on Thursday, May 30 at 11:30 a.m. at the Doubletree Tampa West Shore Hotel at 4500 West Cypress Street. This year's honorees are the Honorable Fran Davin and Jane and Gary Gibbons. For more information, you can call 813-649-4309 or go to hclwv.org.
The Sunday Forum with Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate is a dynamic radio show designed to bring unique, intelligent, and unapologetic perspectives on race, culture, and politics to radio. With renowned guests, heated exchanges.
Let me tell you, I am just furious about the conversation you are having. This is not a black and white issue.
Well, your point is one that we hear racist whites make all the time.
And topics designed to empower the community. This show is not to be missed. Tune in Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WMNF 88.5. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the Sunday Forum with Kaya Wright and the
Fourth Estate.
Man, you're having a great time here. White people are big mad today. All right, so we got some great Facebook comments. And Howard, call us back. Give us a call back. I know you're having some phone problems, but give us a call back. Want to hear what you had to say. So Eric Johnson likes, I've been in a war. Great retort, Kaya, gotcha. David Bryan, let us know about the audio. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You know, we appreciate it. Yeah, so, yeah, we are having a good time. All right, so let us get into, like I said, I'm not going to be able to go into the AIPAC issue because we got to go. And let's get to when affirmative action was white and I'm using that particular base in my topic, which is affirmative action for me and not for thee. Affirmative action for me and not for thee. I on last week in the main segment, I got through a bit of the 20th century, basically. There was some legislation, actually. Okay. There were some legislative efforts, so because it was the Homestead Act, so I talked about that. But a lot of the policies, and then the 1790 Naturalization Act as well. So there were a couple of statutes that I had gone over. pre-20th century that addressed affirmative action, but in a way that benefited whites and excluded black people. So I had gotten to the 40 acres and a mule and the fact that even though, yes, it was issued by General William T. Sherman in Special Field Order Number 15, the mule did not come till later. And then I read a couple of the provisions. And finally, I then went to the fact that it was overruled by President Andrew Johnson. So there was that. And then I also talked about the fact that the government did pay up to $300 per slave to slaveholders as compensation for loss of their property. So what we got going on here?
No, you're good.
Yeah, okay. And then we have, of course, Jim Crow started in the late 1920th century following Reconstruction that reserved the best jobs, neighborhoods, schools, etc. for white folks. So that's where we left off on last week here on WMNF 88.5 with Kaya Wright and the Fourth Estate. All right, so let's talk about the New Deal, right? We hear a lot about the Green New Deal, right? And so the New Deal, right, which, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, is famous for heralding, you know, in the 30s. And then the Fair Deal, which I actually didn't know a bit about, by Harry Truman in the 40s. So, of course, the 30s would deal with the Great Depression. And this is a great example of how legislation is neutral on its face, okay, but it's really designed in order to exclude certain groups of people, in this case, black folks. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they deliberately, and if you, any statute has legislative history, okay? I highly recommend folks get into legislative history. Read legislative history, okay? Look at the ways in which a law is created and what are the considerations, what are the debates that are happening? Because it helps you understand various provisions, right? It helps you understand why certain things are in a bill and why things are have been taken out. Or, you know, that people were considering but decided not to leave or whatever. So, in this case, the Democrats at that time, you know, the so-called Dixiecrats, but, you know, they were, what we would now, or their policies would be more consistent with Republicans of today. But they insisted that various programs, like veterans programs, you know, exclude blacks. Right? And prevented anti-discrimination provisions attachment in social programs, right? Those are the three things that they did when it comes to laws, statutes, policies that comprise the New Deal. So those were the three, you know, main themes, mm-hmm. right? So either omitting blacks from coverage, insisting that various programs be administered by the states, right? So even though it's a federal program, let us do it. And that way they can control, you know, who gets what. And we know how that worked out. We're going to get into that, right? Mm-hmm. And then preventing anti-discrimination provisions attachment to any social programs. So those were the three themes that they focused on when it came to the New Deal, okay? So let's look at a couple of these things. And give us a call at 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. First, let's look at the Social Security Act of 1935, right? So guaranteed income after retirement, right? That's what it's supposed to be about. But it specifically, in its drafting, sought to exclude two occupations, agricultural and domestic workers. Now, at the time, what would you guess was the makeup of most agricultural and domestic workers at the time?
White.
Actually, black.
Black.
Right, because they wanted to exclude them. They wanted to exclude them from the legislation. So they didn't want to say, you know, well, we're not going to, you know, allow black people, you know, to partake in this system. What they did instead, okay, was say, well, we're just going to, you know, this Social Security Act does not apply to agricultural workers and domestic workers.
Gotcha.
That way,
yeah,
they can keep them out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That way they can keep them out. And like I said, almost all of whom were black, and there's a few other minority groups, but that was the major group that was there. Okay? So, you know, obviously, you know, very deliberate, but had an enormous impact. Mm-hmm. Right? Imagine when, you know, you campaign Social Security, and, you know, it's a good, I mean, it doesn't, you know, obviously cure all your ills, but, yeah, it's a nice little safety net. You know, it's a nice little net. But we want to exclude these folks from this particular program.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you think about it, a lot of those black folks had the least opportunity to save to begin with. Then you have nothing to pass on to your children. And then, you know, in fact, you know, the children ended up having to support them.
Right.
And then it just becomes a cycle.
And see, I think about when you said agriculture, I think about people with farms. And so we're just talking about agricultural workers. We're not talking about owners, mm-hmm. necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So it may not have greatly impacted the white people that actually own farms,
mm-hmm.
and hired black people to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So that's what happened with the Social Security Act. And then we had the Wagner Act of 1935. There was a couple months ago, I forgot what it was that we were talking about, but we had someone call in about unions and, you know, and the fact that, and we're talking about the kind of racism in unions and how prevalent that actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was either around maybe Veterans Day or no, it was Memorial Day, something like that, where it would have been relevant to talk about those kinds of things. But I think it was Labor Day. Maybe Labor Day. In any event, the Wagner Act of 1935 allowed unions to collectively bargain. Okay? Now, this helped millions of whites gain entry, you know, to the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But these unions explicitly excluded blacks. And, you know, at the various trade, you know, think of how powerful a lot of, you know, police unions, etc. They were allowed to explicitly exclude blacks and deny them access to better paying jobs, etc. okay? And a lot of these craft unions, for example, I mean, same thing. They would limit, actually, by ethnicity, who could belong to various unions. So the Italians were here, and the Irish were here, et cetera, et cetera. But all of them excluded black people, okay? And many craft unions remain all white until the 1970s. Until the 1970s. Like, not even, you know, oh, well, this just ended, you know, with segregation, you know, right, in 1954. Or it ended with the Civil Rights Act or the... No, okay? It wasn't until the 70s. In fact, in 1972, all 3,000 members of the Los Angeles Steam Fitters Local 250 were white. Okay? All of them. 100%. And that's L.A. That's L.A. So that's back to this issue of racism not being limited to one part of the country or the other. You know, people always try to make that particular point when it comes to, you know, racism. So that's the Wagner Act of 1935. Then you had the Federal Housing Administration, right? Yeah, the Federal Housing Administration, which looked to set up an appraisal program, right? Explicitly tying mortgage eligibility, and it ended up tying it to race, mm-hmm. right? Because then they would rate the black neighborhoods, okay, poorly. They would appraise them poorly, right? And that's how we get redlining.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how we get redlining. And between 1934 and 1962, the federal government backed $120 billion of home loans. Now, imagine $120 billion 1934 up to 1962.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is where a great percentage of white America, especially middle class and upper middle class white America, got their wealth. Okay? Where black people were explicitly excluded. More than 98% of that went to whites. 98%. Okay? 98%. And of the 350,000 homes built with federal support, less than 100 went to black families. 350,000. 100. And even within the last 10 years, I just went like the last 10 years, look at how many major settlements over redlining. Wells Fargo,
mm-hmm.
Bank of America for discriminatory lending practices.
Okay.
Right here today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shelling out big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole 2008 crisis, same deal. And when we had Albert Lee on here, and we were talking about the fact that we still have black people getting higher interest rates by after you adjust for everything else, studies showing that they will charge us more, consider us more of a risk, etc. It's back to what we were talking about before about the black men being seen as innately criminal and violent. It's the same nonsense. Okay, but it's affecting us in this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've already controlled for all the factors that you. Okay, well, maybe this one had something in their past, etc. When you adjust for all that, you still have this, which is why we have all these settlements. Okay, why we have all these settlements of continued redlining and continued discrimination in housing against black people. But maybe Lee Fang would want to know maybe if they were mixed and maybe, you know. All right, we have Lenny in Treasure Island. Lenny in Treasure Island wants to talk Social Security. You are on the Sunday phone with Kyle Wright for the state. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just you missed one exclusion of the Social Security Act. It was the railroad workers.
Mm, okay.
There are many black people.
Yeah,
in the
which was okay. at that time was a mm-hmm. very large portion of the workforce. My grandfather worked for Grand Trunk, and he was not eligible for Social Security after working for Grand Trunk for 35 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The railroad had their own system, as poor as it was, and they were excluded from Social Security taxes. They didn't pay it, so they couldn't get it.
Okay.
Another thing that not just black people, but mostly black people, I guess, but impoverished people have to deal with is the tragedy and the outrage of these payday loan companies, these title loan, payday loan.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a renter in Midtown. She's a sweet lady, and she doesn't have a bank. you know, because the bank doesn't want her. So she has to go to these shady check cashing places that charge outrageous fees and percentages. And, you know, she's never going to get ahead of it. She's always going to be indebted to these people who basically feed on the poorest people in our society. And they are some of the biggest contributors to our state legislatures who pass and enforce all the laws that surround people taking out these loans so they can never get out from underneath them. I mean, you know, I think Utah and another state out there have some of the most notorious rates. Like if you take out a payday loan, you could pay as much as 900% by the time you pay it back. That's usury.
It's usury. There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But keep on doing what you're doing. I love the show.
Thanks, you. Lenny. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, take care. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. The myriad, again, of ways that folks get to you, right? That folks get to you. And it's really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. The payday loans.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, that was great. And there are some legislatures that have, or attorneys general who have tried to kind of address it, because people constantly complain about these outrageous interest rates that they will charge.
Right.
I know they a lot of soldiers they'll get to as well, because you know you have a steady paycheck. Mm-hmm. They know you're getting a steady paycheck, you know, and so there was I want to say the Consumer Bureau was looking into that,
because they'll get their money before the soldier gets paid. Uh-huh. Isn't that something?
Yeah, they are right on top of it, right on top of it, exploiting as many people as they possibly can. And so it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And so I think it's very important. I think it's very important to point that stuff out, right? It's very important. So thank you for that addition. Mm-hmm. Really appreciate it. We like when people, you know, listen, there's stuff we miss sometimes.
Right, drop gems. I appreciate it.
Yeah, stuff. Nerman O'Kan's in the house. She says, I'm listening. Nerman, good to see you.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always good to see Nerman on there.
It is.
You know, holding it down. Holding it down. Where Kevin at? Call you out. All right. Whenever people would say something, where is something at, I would always say behind that preposition.
There's always one in the room.
There's always one in the room. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to be real with it. So the Federal Housing Administration, you're listening to WMNF at 8.5 again with Kyle Wright and the Fourth Estate on a Sunday Forum, where we have had a fiery show for you today. And so right now we're going through our focus is affirmative action for me and not for thee, part 1A. And so a program that's near and dear to my heart, right, is the GI Bill, right? The Servicemen's Readjustment Act is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
The GI Bill, the so-called GI Bill, as it's more popularly known. And there, I mean, many people have said that there is no other New Deal initiative that has as great an impact on changing the country as the GI Bill.
Mm.
As the GI Bill. They had educational grants, subsidized mortgages, business loans, job training, assistance to find work. Great, great program, okay? And while there were some gains for blacks there, I mean, the numbers aren't as stark as with the Federal Housing Administration, and they're clearly white supremacist, you know, racist nonsense. But you still had the same issues. Now, remember I talked about one of the things that the states wanted to do, the Democrats at the time, the Dixiecrats, they wanted to control these programs so they can, you know, so they can decide where it goes. Okay. So, of course, what happened was, you know, as one commentator said back, you know, during those times, that it seemed as if the GI Bill was earmarked for whites only.
Mm.
Earmarked for whites only. John Elliott Rankin fought for it to be administered by the states so that blacks could be excluded. I'm very fond of naming people in history who've done these horrific things, okay? You know, when I see these lunch counter incidents and see these lynchings and see these beatdowns of black people, when I read about, you know, Tulsa, when I read about Rosewood, when I see these pictures of people you know, folks trying to go to school, being spit on or whatever. And I think a lot of these people are still living. They're still walking around here on this earth. No accountability, no punishment. And I want there to be a plaque or a website or something that memorializes you. Since the law didn't get to you when you clearly committed crimes, murders, rapes, assaults, etc., lynchings, etc., then you should be memorialized. Mm-hmm. And legislators like John Elliott Rankin, okay, who were overtly fighting for racist nonsense, should also be memorialized. All right? And what they did was they pushed us to vocational schools, trade schools, instead of university. Right? And that's another, like, common theme. Like, you know, I'm a sports fan, so like in football, when they want to push the blacks to, you know, away from the quarterback, right? Away from the prestige positions, mm-hmm. or what they think are the thinking positions, away from center, okay? They want to push you to be a running back, wide receiver, you know, be a DB, be a wide receiver or be a DB or something like that, a defensive back or something like that. Okay, you know, where I can be in charge. It's all good. You know, you can be here, but I need to be in charge. Mm-hmm. I need to be the general. I need to be marching things. If you look back to even integration, and you look back to 1948 when the military was integrated, you know, you had before it was integrated. Excuse me. I mean, they still continued to discriminate, but they would have white officers in charge of black troops. You could have a black troop in charge of white troops. That wasn't going to happen, but you can have it the other way around. All right, so I need to be in charge. So I'm going to push you into professions where you can serve me. I don't want you to go to university and be in a position of authority. Right now, you have whites who have a problem with a black person in a position of authority over them, or a woman, or a black woman mm-hmm. in positions of authority over them. Okay. So they would push them into certain jobs, and when they would try to apply for other kinds, no, you're not going to do that, okay? And it's very interesting, you know, the consistency when it comes to keeping us in a mewling position, in a subordinate position to be used, right? Keeping us in a place where we can be used. When it came to home loans, couldn't get the home loans. Job placement, again, except for menial positions. Yeah, thanks for getting the door. Except for menial positions. You know, this is where we're going to allow you, you know, to function, right? It's like they need to see us in these menial positions. You know, it's like when you're in charge, you know, if they ask for who's in charge and it's you, you know, it makes them feel some type of way, you know? It's resentment that we're not in this, you know, menial position. Why are you pushing them, you know, to these vocational, and there's nothing wrong with vocational jobs, that's not what I'm saying, but if I wanted to go to university, then let me go to university, you know, and not be afraid of what it is that I'm going to do, mm-hmm. okay, when it comes to getting my education. So black professionals in all areas will have stories about how, you know, their credentials, etc., are often challenged, all right, by white subordinates. 86% of the skilled professional semi-skilled the skilled or professional semi-skilled jobs went to white veterans. Okay? Not, the, you know, the black veterans did the same work. Right? They did the same thing. Mm-hmm. They did what they were supposed to do. They went and fought for their country. And this is how their country repaid them. We talked about that on the veterans show. All right? 86% of those types of jobs went to whites. And again, most of the home loans. Again, nothing to pass down to your children. You know, and so that's how these things continue to be entrenched, mm-hmm. right?
And you create poverty.
Yeah. You create recurring cyclical, okay, poverty. And so, you know, those are just some of the huge bits of legislation in the New Deal and beyond that benefited whites to the exclusion of black people, right? And you have, you know, white women, ironically, some of the biggest beneficiaries, of affirmative action. Yet, when it comes to these cases being addressed, it's always black people who are targeted, black people who are maligned, black people who are accused. Even in the Harvard suit, they tried to say, "Oh no, we're not focusing on black people." But when you listen to the opening argument mm-hmm. of their counsel, they can't help it; they had to slip it in there.
as a reference.
Yeah. Like, you know, never mind the legacies. Never mind these billions and billions of entrenched advantages provided to whites. And this, and this is just a, you know, a couple of statues that I'm talking about here. We didn't even get into, you know, all of the other ways, subtle ways that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
The nepotism, etc. You know, we got detailed, clear evidence. And these programs were used, again, to create the white middle class, as we know today. And you have black people explicitly excluded. So when they open their mouths to talk about some job or some, which they usually can't even prove, you know, or some position or whatever, you know, because some black person, again, never mind the legacies, never mind the athletes, never mind all these other people, never mind these hundreds of years, never mind all that. You know, I just laugh, honestly, at how ridiculous they sound. Okay, I'm not falling for the gaslighting. Once again, it's gaslighting. The documentation is there. The history is there. You're not going to tell me that, you know, well, it's your fault, this or that. Like, it's some kind of zero-sum game. You are way ahead. I saw this great cartoon. You've probably seen it. Where there's this black guy, you know, he's hunched over, and this white guy is trying to climb onto a cliff, and he climbs onto his back and gets on top of the cliff, okay, right? And so then now the black guy has got his hand up, you know, asking the white guy to help him up, and the dude's like, get your own self up here. Get your own self up here. Who got you up there? I got you up there. You know? And here you go. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. And this is another great basis for reparations. You had actual legislation throughout history excluding us, but, you know, putting aside slavery and all that. And you get to Jim Crow and post-Reconstruction. I mean, it's not even close. You got the Abigail Fisher's cases and all these other cases where they want to harp on black people not acknowledging what whites received. Absolutely ridiculous. So a couple of comments. We got Sandy, who's very upset, thinks all lives matter and, you know, we're all one and forbidden fruit and basically gibberish. And then we have Doug Clearwater, thanks for your voice. In response to Jack's comments, I would express my appreciation that you are standing your ground and you're not using a gun to do it. All right.
That part.
Yeah, yeah. Additionally,
yes. Yeah,
the 13th is a very good documentary. So, hey, we're going to have to go. We are glad to be with you. WMNF Tampa, 88.5, Kai Wright in the 4th Estate. From the action for me and not for thee. And we will see you next week. Great to be with you guys. We hope you guys tune in. We're going to have a wonderful show lined up for you and looking forward to it. You guys have a great rest of your weekend. And I mean all of you.